Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander listeners are warned that the following podcast program may contain stories, names and voices of deceased persons.
This is Outback Out Loud.
People and stories from Outback New South Wales.
Seeing my family on TV, seeing them sing, a bit teary. Yeah, nothing but love.
I have no regrets.
The people from the bush are real people. They're just wonderful people.
At a certain time of the afternoon, all these galahs come past and it's just beautiful.
If you've got time, pay Ningen a visit. Like, it's a great spot and we'd love to see you.
Yes. But Warren, it's just home. It's a beautiful little town.
I love Canamba because I'm here.
Outback Out Loud!
That's what I like.
This is Outback Out Loud Warren. During the late 19th and early 20th centuries, Aboriginal people were ostracised from the Warren Township and sent 2.5 kilometres out of town to the Beemunnel. This is a very special recording, a group interview between students from Warren Central School and the women that used to live there. This all took place under the trees at the Beemunnel Reserve Aboriginal Place.
What was it like living on the Beemunnel?
It was the best years of our lives and we'll never ever forget it.
We had more fun out here than I reckon the kids have today.
Yes. We always had something to do.
Fishing in the Beemunnel, playing cricket with the young ones, rounders. We did a lot of swimming in the creek.
Yep.
A lot of swimming in the creek. And it wasn't like it is now. Look at it. Muddy. The water was beautiful. We used to sit on the edge of the water and we could see the crayfish in the water, even fish floating around, women around.
How would you like to be remembered?
I think we'll be remembered no matter how we'd like it. Our families will carry that legacy forever. We hope you kids will keep it going.
What was it like eating bush tucker?
Oh, we'd have a kangaroo here and there.
The porcupine.
I remember it when we had to tell the police that there was a sheep. The sheep come from over there.
Goanna, we used to eat. Goanna?
Yes.
Yeah. Porcupine.
Rabbits. I remember they were porcupine.
Rabbits, yeah.
Rabbits were lovely.
Yeah. Would you have a go at porcupine?
Yeah.
Goanna?
Yeah, I love taste of that.
You just got to taste porcupine. It.
Yeah.
How's the kangaroo before?
I'll just stick with Johnny Cakes.
Yeah, that's all we had.
Yeah, we had Johnny Cakes.
Johnny Cake, dampers.
Yeah. They're still good. Johnny Cakes, mate.
Yeah, that's right.
You used to put the potatoes in the ashes.
Yeah.
Remember them?
How did you get to school and what was it like?
Well, we never ever had a bus. School was at the opposite the park.
Where the TAFE is now.
That was the school back in the day.
School, yep.
And we used to walk into town in groups like to go to school.
Yep.
And we'd walk home. The buses didn't run till about 50s or 60s or something like that. Sometimes got on the road and people from out of town used to come in trucks and that. They'd give you a lift. Of course, from this Beemunnel to the at the tipway, it was all flood. This was covered in water. We were living on a little island at the time.
Yeah, it used to come so far up, eh?
Yeah. We had no problem with the water where we were living.
It didn't go into our houses. No.
Yeah, and it was, unreal, really. I even remember a couple of helicopters flying over at one stage and dropped off, you know, the food parcels.
Mm.
And that was just all split up with the families.
Mm.
All that.
Mm.
And that was 1955.
Yeah. So how far did you go in school?
Well,
back in those days?
We didn't have 11 and 12 back in the day.
No. So you went to what, year 10?
Year 10, 9.
Yeah. 9, I think.
And that
10.
Was it.
What was your first job?
Going out on property, cleaning up white fellas' houses.
Cleaning. Yeah. Domestic work, yeah.
Yeah.
That was my first job.
Yeah. Yeah, going out in the bush and cleaning houses.
Yeah, a lot of us went out on properties and cleaned houses. Yeah. I did. What were we doing? Just housekeeping, you know.
Yeah, cleaning.
You'd be up at daylight and go to bed at midnight.
Looking after kids.
Yes.
Looking after kids.
I worked at the hospital for 10 years in the kitchen, for 10 years. When I was in year 9, my mother worked in the laundry for 20 years, the King of Avon Hospital.
What did you spend your money on?
You'd have to stay out in the bush for a month, and you get something like 15 quid or something.
Pound.
Pound.
15 pound, what would that be today?
What would that be then?
That'd be $30.
$30 or...
Yeah, and the cockies the women used to leave money laying around to see if we touched it. Yeah. Well, where I used to work, you just leave money everywhere. Notes, coins, see if we ever took the money. Yeah. But we showed them. Mm-hmm. We never touched a cent.
We used to spend it on going to the pitches and
open air.
Going to the pool, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
Going to the pictures, pictures outside. We used to watch the pictures outside.
Open air, yeah. I remember them days.
But we had to sit down the front, you know, on the grass.
Yeah.
We had to spread the rugs out and sit on the grass.
Sneak up at the back to the boyfriend.
Yeah. How was life in Warren?
Life in Warren is beautiful, really. You know, you have all your disagreements no matter where you go.
Yes.
But Warren, it's just home. It's a beautiful little town.
What was the best memory out here?
Best memory for me was bonfire night.
Yeah, that was a good night.
We'd go across to the tip over the road, bring back all these old beds, boxes and
drag
mattresses and... We'd build the biggest bonfire in the middle of the Beam Munnel.
We spent a lot of time out here, just coming out here and playing, you know, with all the kids and coming out here to see my cuz.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Memories with all the kids out here, you know. Cousins, sisters, brothers.
Families, yeah.
Yeah, all the families, yeah.
Yeah, just the families.
That's what I miss most.
This is for Minnie, Myrtle and Robin. Can you describe the construction and layout of your homes out here?
Yeah, three rooms. Girls, boys and mum and dad. Tin, wasn't it, Myrtle?
Yeah,
I can't remember,
tins.
Too far.
Tin and wood.
Tin and wood and dirt floors.
Our house was made out of boards and we had the wooden floors, but mum and dad didn't. And we had... three bedrooms on the riverfront, and then Mum and Dad's was at the back, and then we had the big kitchen, and then we had what we called a bow shed, and we had an old man living out under that, and we put windows up instead of down. We'd put ours up with a piece of tin with a piece of iron or wood behind to keep it up. And then if it got cold, we'd get the newspaper and put the flour mix and stick it on the wall so they keep the heat in.
Have a little hole. So
insulation
it was.
And we had to go up into the paddocks to get the cow dung so the mosquitoes wouldn't eat us alive.
Yep.
We had to smell it all night. We had no choice.
How do you... kids feel about the
Bee Munnel? I think it's a great place.
Yeah.
If I had the choice to live out here, I'd definitely live out here.
Oh, how lovely.
Yeah, what do you think about
this? When I come out here, get that sense, the ancestors around you, you know, feel safe out here.
That's it, you're safe.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Oh, I feel proud of it, beautiful, beautiful river, beautiful everything out here.
Yeah.
I think most of the kids know that they're great grandparents or their grandparents grew up here, We try to tell as much as we can at school what we know about the Beemal and the families that grew up out here and what they did, that they wasn't allowed to speak their language and stuff like that. So that's why we're doing the TAFE courses to do language, and we're still trying to help these kids know their language and their heritage in this in town, and pretty much all about their families that grew up here and what it was like growing up here as well.
Grant and Jeff were down at the Warren Services Club. Let's find out more about their work driving trains.
My name's Grant. We're sitting here in the Warren Services Club having a beer on a Wednesday afternoon.
My name's Jeff.
So we're train drivers basically. We just travel around the western area. The company we work for load bulk grain trains, and we travel around, all of us. There's about 36 of us on the books, I think, at the moment, Jeff.
I stopped you up.
So we're quite busy. I go to Walgett on Sunday afternoon. I load a train at Beenbrae and been out here all week. Went to Hermadale yesterday, Ningen today. Look, it's a good job. I'm 43 years into the industry at the moment, and it's looked after me extremely well throughout those 43 years.
The money? I don't know. And working with great blokes, of course.
I love this job at the moment that I'm doing. As Jeff says, you get to meet people. We travel around the north, west and the west, and that's my home area. I'm Dubbo born and bred. I love getting out in the smaller towns like Warren. I just love travelling around the smaller towns and meeting people, having a chat, and basically becoming part of the community. Wherever I go, I seem to run into someone I know or that I can have a beer with or whatever.
Travelling around a lot, you get to see regular faces and that. I like it because it's like you never know what's going to come about. You can have the same shift written down all the time, but every time it's something different, so you just never know what's going to come about, good or bad. It's great. It's awesome. Love it.
You get to see a lot of Australia that the general Joe Blow doesn't get to see. We're out back, we're out west, we're out northwest. Sunrises, beautiful sunrises.
Yeah.
Absolutely glorious sunsets, you know. This is such a beautiful country that we live in. I don't think that we appreciate it as much as we could. It's just wonderful. And meeting people. The people from the bush are real people. They're just wonderful people.
Here's Susan and John Burke having a chat about their long-running medical practice in Warren.
There were two of us in town. We got along professionally, and so we shared the workload. If I worked, for example, Christmas this year, he'd work Christmas next year. People who live in rural communities in those days expect their doctor to be able to look after them in hospital, do minor surgery, deliver their babies, look after their children, and become in fact a true family doctor, you know, grandma, mum, children,
which is holistic, of course.
So you, that's the way it is, yeah, holistic sort of medicine. I think to go into medicine, that you've got to have a particular type of personality. It's got to be reasonably robust, because there's hardship, emotional hardship in medicine. Then you come out to a rural area, that hardship is amplified a little bit because you're close to people, you see them daily in the street or whatever, and you say hello and all that, and they get sick or their child gets sick. That's how the emotional involvement, and you've got to try to keep out of that. You've got to try to be remote if you can, which makes friendships harder. So it's one of those sorts of things. It's a balancing act, but you've got to go into that with your eyes open and understand that that's part of the deal.
Yeah, well, the hospital, of course, you know, it's ringing. You know, I mean, the day doesn't start at half past eight and finish at seven. It starts, it's 24 hours, so that the phone can ring any time, and you've still got to then front up to the surgery and do your job, which is, you know, that's exhausting in lots of ways. As I'm a trained nurse, so I ran the surgery, took blood, did injections, we did some pathology, that we had a machine that we did our own pathology. That's basically what I did, but I was also involved in Red Cross, and the whole thing took a lot of time because it was medicine in those days in a small country town was the hospital sort of ran it, and then you had the private practice, so the hospital would ring a lot. There was always things coming and going from the hospital, and we started in the morning at, say, half past eight and probably finished at 7 o'clock, and we did Saturday morning surgery as well, and looking after all sorts of things in the hospital. Nowadays children go away, babies are born elsewhere, people who've got a bit of illness are sent away immediately. You know, there's no, it's completely different. I mean, the hospital in John's day would have been full of acute patients. Now, that's not the case really now.
Here's Jen Stacey and her daughter Lily.
I help out at the Warren Youth Centre and have lived in Warren for 18 years. And have three children.
And you homeschool them?
I do homeschool them, yes. They were struggling in mainstream schooling because they all like to learn in different ways. So my eldest who has autism, he got pulled out 3 years ago and has been doing distance education. Now he does homeschooling, and Lily does homeschooling, and Logan. They are all very smart. They learn very easily, so they get it done a lot quicker. And they all have their passions, which by doing the main curriculum quicker, earlier in the week, they can spend the rest of the week doing what they love, be it drawing, running around outside, or playing video games.
I like it much better because just the fact of when you can get your work done as quick as you want, and then you can go on to your work straight away instead of, as in mainstream schooling, if you got your work done early, you had to wait for everyone else to finish. I love doing arts and also sports, and I sew sometimes.
And you design your own clothes?
Yeah, I use my mum's sewing machine. Sometimes I just use old clothes, or I use scrap materials and make all different things.
She likes to go to Vinnie's every so often, and you can pick up all the bargains, and then she draws it and uses that dress or shirt or whatnot and combines it and makes a new piece of clothing. So
I'm waiting to get like a mannequin to make it easier to make different stuff. The one I was looking at doesn't have any like arms or legs, but it's just the torso, so you can make the base and everything of the dress or like outfit.
Here's a selection of stories about the hot and hard work of cotton chipping.
Did you go chipping? We used to go cotton chipping.
Yeah, cotton chipping. Yeah, to
go out in the field, like back then.
Where the cotton grows in a big cotton field.
Yeah, back then they didn't have Roundup ready.
Mm.
And the weeds used to grow.
Between the cotton?
Yeah. Mm. And the cotton used to grow that high
six foot.
Then. Now it only gets about that height.
We used to chip with a hoe, you know, the hoe, chip the weeds.
Walk up the row, chip that row, walk back again, chip that row, walk back all day, backwards. And
what was the pay like?
Yeah.
It was reasonable.
I can't remember what we got.
I don't know.
We thought it was pretty good.
It was very hot, wasn't it? And you had to carry lots of water.
Yeah. You'd leave your water bottle at the end of the row.
Mm.
You
used to be a ganger for the cotton, chipping with a garden hoe.
Back in the day?
Back in the day, yeah. They all used to work for me. Billy hasn't. Billy's the only bloke I think that hasn't worked for me.
You're always working. You're always at a gang.
Yeah. I used to drive the pickers, the cotton pickers, and, do all that sort of work. And bulldozers and tractors and all that sort of work.
Mate,
a lot of women, especially around Christmas time, all the women had come out because of the Christmas, and they were all coming out to get money for Christmas. We used to go to the RSL club and have a Christmas dinner, you know, all the break up when we'd break up for Christmas. Anyway, they were talking about ghosts. Maddie was saying there was ghosts at the Blue Monarch, and that, you know, she'd seen them and all this. I said, "Oh, don't be so stupid." I said, "There's no such thing as ghosts." They said, "Oh, they're serious. They said, "There's a lot of ghosts at the Blue Monarch." So I said, "Righto." I said, "You reckon you've seen these ghosts?" I said, "So after the Christmas party," I said, "we're going to go ghost up." I got a sheet and I put red paint all over it, and it was 12 o'clock, so we went out to the B-Munnel, and I said, "I want everyone to put their keys in my car," I said, "because I don't want you, if we see something, I don't want you jumping in the cars and running over you as well." So I got all the keys and I put them in my car. Faffy, I give Faffy the sheet.
Yeah.
And I said, "I want you to go out to the B-Munnel 12 o'clock, I said, "in that big hill of dirt, you know, they had where the old rubbish tip was.
Yeah.
I said, "I want you to go there and stand up on the hill and wave this sheet, you know, like this." So he did, but he frightened himself.
He what?
Faffy frightened himself.
Did he?
Yeah. And I said, "Come on then, we go and see where these ghosts are." And we're walking around and I said, "What the hell's that on that hill?" And screamed. But I tell you what, I thought I'd kill some people. But there was women just screaming and crying. They was wetting themselves. Oh, it was terrible.
There's a lot going down at the Warren Community Hub. Here's a quick word from local Tai Chi expert, Danielle.
I'm Danielle and I am a business owner with Tai Chi and Wellness, and my business is Zhong Fu Tai Chi and Wellness. So every Monday and Wednesday I operate out of the youth centre here, and I usually get clients from 6 to 8 people at a time, and the ages are from 12 to 85 at the moment. I'm currently also doing some programs with the preschool in town and the primary school, and here for some meditation lessons as well. Tai Chi is a moving meditation. It focuses on your breathing and your balance. It's basically everything fantastic. I traveled to China to learn the art of Tai Chi. I went up into the Wudang Mountains and I studied there at the Taoist Wellness Center and met Master Gu, who just gave me the most inspirational thing to learn about life and energy and just to take every day and be present and be grateful.
Thanks for listening. To hear more amazing stories from Outback New South Wales, check out the whole Outback Out Loud series, now streaming everywhere.
We acknowledge and celebrate the first Australians on whose traditional lands we meet and work, and whose cultures are among the oldest continuing cultures in human history. Please like, subscribe, rate us, and write a review. The Outback Out Loud podcast was designed and produced by Signal Creative and is a collaboration between Signal Creative and Outback Arts. The Outback Out Loud community project and workshop series was designed and facilitated by Signal Creative. These episodes are the result of recordings and interviews collected by Signal Creative and community participants. You can find Signal Creative at signalcreative.net and Outback Arts at outbackarts.com.au, and you can find both of us on Facebook
and Instagram. Audio production, sound and music design by Emma Hoy. Community liaison, research and editing by Caroline Wallace.